podcast of Northway Baptist Church in Angleton, Texas, where our mission is to know Christ, to grow together in faith, and to go and make Him known. And now, let's join Pastor Aaron Pardue.
It's chapter 12, and we're going to be just studying this and seeing how this impacts our very lives, how it can change the very lives in which we live. And I believe this, if you will listen to and if you will follow the teachings that you hear in Romans chapter 12, that it will have an impact in your life. Now, last week, our middle son turned 11. Andrew turned 11 on Wednesday, and it was kind of a great week. You know, when you have kids, you know, their birthdays turn into birth weeks, which turn into birth months, which turn into birth years. And it's one of those things that, you know, we had to hear a lot about birthday stuff this past week. And it was very funny to me that somehow, some way, John, our three-year-old, kind of began to get into this birthday spirit. And he began to go and tell everybody that he was not three, I'm 12. I'm 12. I'm 12. Now, having me as a father, I was just thinking to myself, this kid is theologically sound. He didn't hear the sermon from last week, but he just felt it in the presence of his home and just went going around and telling everybody he's 12. Now, if you believe that, I don't know what I'm going to sell you, but I'm going to sell you something. He did, though, for some reason. He wanted everybody to know I'm 12. Here's the thing I want for you to somehow grasp and take hold of this week. I don't necessarily want you to think of your birth year. I don't really necessarily want you to think of your birth month. If you have a birthday this week, hey, go ahead, celebrate, all right? Do it. But I want you to think this. I'm 12. I'm 12, not 12 years old. I want you to think I'm 12, Romans 12. I'm seeking to be a Romans 12 Christian, because I believe that when we look at Romans 12 and when we allow it to change us, that it will not only change our church, but it could change our families. It could change Angleton, Texas. It could change everyone. When we, the church, began to take the Word of God seriously, and not just with the reading of it, but with the practicing of what it teaches, it will change who we are, and it will change who Northway is, and it will change who Angleton is. And so it's with that I tell you this morning, I'm 12. I want to be 12. I want to be a Romans 12 Christian. Wouldn't you like to make some changes in your life? I know I would. If there were some changes that you could make about yourself, what would you change? You know, many of us, let's be honest, we'd start with our outward appearance. If somebody said, hey, what is it that you would like to change about yourself? You'd begin with a litany of things. And they'd be outward things, obviously. Would you want to be taller? Would you want to be skinnier? Would you want to be better looking? Where would you start? Would you want to start with your eyes or your teeth or your hair or your waistline? I'm giving you my list here, aren't I? Yeah. Yeah, I'm really giving you that outward appearance for myself. And that's for some reason, when I begin to think of the things that I want to change, the things that I'd want to somehow make different about Aaron Pardue, I began to come up with a list. Instead of rejoicing in the fact that God has made me who I am, that God has put me on this earth for the very reason that I'm standing before you today, He's put me on earth for a particular purpose and made me who I am. There was something to change about your outward appearance, what would it be? Here's what I know. Here's what I've come to recognize in my 41 years of life, that it's difficult to change things on the outside. It's not easy. I wonder if you began to change some of those things of your outward appearance that you wanted to change. When you walked in those doors today, would we recognize you? And my prayer in some small way is that when you think along those lines, that that person who would walk in these doors, that absolutely 100% you would be recognizable as you come to grasp and as you come to realize that you are the you that God made you to be. And something that we tell our kids all the time, that you're the best you there is. You know, this is something that I think we all struggle with, especially when we look up to people. And when we look up and we find people who we think are successful, we sometimes try to emulate them and their outward things and things that they do. We want to be more like them, and really our challenge is to be us, to be me. Outward appearances are difficult to change. Even more difficult, though, are inward changes. Changes of the heart. It's difficult to change the outside, but it's infinitely harder to change that which is on the inside. If there's anything that we know about human nature, it's that change happens very slowly, if they change at all. Think about the struggles in your own life. That impatient spirit, that critical tongue, your envious desires, your spirit of discontentment, your lingering anger and resentment, your desire for more drink, your knowingly misusing the prescription drugs that you have been given, your tendency to look down on others, your pride, your arrogance, your prejudice towards others, your inability to appreciate life. Perhaps just one or two of those may have scratched you where you are this morning. We all want to change something, but sometimes we don't know how to do it, and we don't know where to begin. We dream of being better. We dream of somehow being a better us. And this is, advertisers know this. That's why your email inbox is crammed with things that are promising that you can lose weight now, that you can make money overnight, that you can learn a new language. And of course, how could we forget that there is an ex-queen in Libya that promises you $4 million if you will somehow just give your bank account stuff to the emailer? You can split the money. You could do a lot with $2 million, couldn't you? What is it that you need to change? You see, our passage today reminds us there's a specific way to go about this. Read with me in Romans 12. We're going to look at verse 1 again, but our focus will be verse 2, which says this. Verse 1, therefore I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. Father, would you teach us today? Father, would you challenge us through your Holy Spirit? Father, would you somehow help us to recognize through the power of the Holy Spirit the changes that must be made in our lives for us to walk in accordance with your will? Father, I pray that today you would be honored with the teaching of your word. You'd be honored with the hearing of your word. And you'd be honored with the practicing of your word. I pray these things in the name of Jesus. Amen. Change is hard, but it's time for you and I, the body of Christ, to begin to work on the changes we so desperately need. And so, as I think about the changes that we need to make, perhaps outwardly, but let's be honest today, I'm not seeking to look at the outward appearance. We're looking at the inward appearance. We're looking on the inside. We're looking at the interior of ourselves, at the heart. It's a heart matter. As we look at these heart matters, I just want you to remember what verse 1 says. Why would we look at heart matters? Why would we deal with anything in the heart? And it's simply because of this, in view of the mercy of God. In view of what God has done in our lives, in view of the change that he brought to our lives based on what Jesus did on the cross, in view of that mercy, in view of not getting what we deserve, now we can look at changes in our lives. I believe Romans 12, the crux of the matter is in view of God's mercy, because of God's mercy, because of what God has done. Because of what Jesus did on the cross. Can I just tell you this? If we're not doing this in view of God's mercy, let's just leave. Because there's not really a reason for us to meet if we can't recognize that what we're doing is not just so that we can have a makeover. It's not just so that we can, feel better about ourselves. It's in view of the mercy of God because of what he has done that we now come to this place that we want to see these things found in verse 2. So in view of the mercy of God, there are two things I'd like for you to see, and a few sub-things, of course, but here's the things I want you to see. Number one, I want you to determine the wisdom of God. Paul moves from dealing with the body that we are to be living sacrifices, that we're to sacrifice ourselves. Jesus sacrificed himself dying on a cross so that we might live. In view of that, we need to now determine the wisdom of God, dealing no longer with the body, but now with the mind. And it's the root of our problems anyway. You know, it's not your leg that's your problem. It's not your arm that's the problem. It's not your ears that are the problem. We often think of from a heart perspective, but really what we're talking about is right here. See, there must be some changes made right here. Cutting my arm off is going to do me no good if I don't deal with the root problem. And the root problem is found right here, the head. Paul says this, in dealing with that root problem, do not conform to the world. Do not conform to the world. The word conform means to fashion or to shape. And it literally means to mold. And so as we think about this, it's as if a potter would then mold us into the fashion of the world. We're not to allow this world to squeeze us then into that mold. Here's the truth, and this is a difficult truth for us in 2016. Christians are not to look just like the world. Now, once again, I think it's easy for us to move straight to the exterior, but what I'm preaching to you today has to deal with the interior, with heart matters. That we must be different than the world. That we cannot simply be the same. There must be something different about us. And that something then is what? Is Jesus in view of the mercy of God. The world and those who are controlled by its influences is vastly different than that for which God intends us to be. There's a list of the works of the flesh found in Galatians chapter 5. You can look it up. In verse 19, it says, the deeds of the flesh are evident. Immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, outbursts of anger, disputes, dissensions, factions, envying, drunkenness, carousing, and things like these of which I forewarn you, just as I forewarned you, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Why? Because there's to be something different about us. Here's the problem. Too often when we see that list, we say, seems kind of fun. You know, that list, whew, wow, you know, those are the bad things. Those seem like the good things, huh? Those seem like the areas that we want to participate in. You see, I think this is the area where we've got to recognize there must be something different about us. And yes, this means that there are actions that we take that are different than what the world would take. Why? Because of the mercy of God. in view of that mercy, then we say, hey, you know what? My actions are going to be different. I'm not simply going to conform to the world. I'm going to be different. There's a lot that could be added to that list, but those are sufficient for us to see that the world is diametrically opposed to God. Friends, our relationship with God is not simply Him giving us a little buffer. Come here, sweetheart. Let me get that off your chin there. Got a little Cheeto on there. Okay, now you're good. You know, you see, what the scripture tells us is we don't just need somebody scraping the Cheeto off our chin. We need to be changed. We're to avoid being squeezed into the world's mold. We must not conform to this world. Why? Because the Cheeto on the chin is not enough. You see, here in Romans 2, it says that we must be transformed by the Word. That we must be transformed by the Word. The word transformed, if you look at that, it's where we get our word metamorphosis. When you think of the word metamorphosis, what comes to mind? Butterfly. Who said it? You're going to get some extra points there. But oh, there you go. How about that? Butterfly. When I think of metamorphosis, I think of a butterfly. It describes what the transformation then that happens with a caterpillar changing into something that looks like this. And then there's another one that looks like this. And then perhaps another one that looks like this. And we all look at those and go, oh, it's so beautiful. Now, some of you are kind of weirded out because in the back of your mind, you think to yourself, it's still a bug. I will never forget. It was literally 2 years ago. So John would have been one, almost two. I was at soccer practice with my boys, and for some reason I had John with me, and man, he was acting out. It was shocking to me. Couldn't believe it. He was acting like a one-year-old. And finally, something happened. He saw this little critter that was flying around him, and it was a butterfly. And he's just a toddler. You know, and all of a sudden starts chasing this butterfly. And I think to myself, thank you, God. Because I don't know what's happened to this kid, but he is chasing a butterfly. And we're going to watch and see how far this toddler is going to chase this thing. I promise you. I was stunned when I looked back. I could barely see my kids on the soccer field anymore because we chased this butterfly at least 100 yards. My little toddler just... And I thought, he's going to stop here soon. Just trying to chase a butterfly. There was something about that butterfly that was mesmerizing to my son. Something about this butterfly that he just wanted to be near it. Something about this butterfly that he had to chase after. And I thought to myself, if that was a caterpillar, would he have chased after that caterpillar like that? Probably not. As a matter of fact, perhaps one of you is going to come and tell me this after I'm finished with the sermon, but I have never in my life heard, you know the caterpillar? Now that's a beautiful creature. Not one time in my 41 years of existence have I heard someone say, that caterpillar gets a raw deal. That caterpillar is a beautiful creature, and that butterfly's got nothing on the caterpillar. No, we recognize this. That caterpillars have a purpose. And their purpose is to be changed into a butterfly. To be transformed. I'm just reminded that this is the change that God wants to effect in His children. See, I believe too often we settle for being a bunch of caterpillars. And so when the world sees us, They can just simply look right past us. There's a caterpillar. Maybe one day it's going to be something beautiful, but I'm not going to stick around and watch and see what happens. But I also happen to believe that when we allow God's word to transform us, right? That there are people who are going to follow. They're going to chase after. Because what they see is something beautiful. Something mesmerizing. Something that they want. How does that happen? It happens when we allow our minds to be transformed by the renewing of our minds. How do we renew our mind? I can tell you this. We renew our mind through allowing God's word to change us. Filling the mind with the word of God. 2 Timothy 3 tells us this. All scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. That's talking about you. That's talking about the transformation that's needed. How does that transformation take place? It's when you hear the teaching, when you receive the rebuking, when you receive the correcting, when you receive the training that allows you to go from caterpillar then to butterfly. It's ordering your life to the teachings and commands of God. And so the challenge then is to determine the will of God, not being conformed to the world, but being transformed by the word. Which brings me to the second thing. Not only do we need to determine the wisdom of God, but we must discern the will of God. To discern the will of God, Paul uses three adjectives here. It's found in the scripture to describe the will of God. He says it is good. Regardless of what God asks you to do, here's what you need to know in the end. It's good. Perhaps for a time, perhaps for a season, it may seem difficult, it may seem tough, but the will of the Lord is good. It's the devil and the flesh who tell us that the Lord's ideas, the Lord's will bring us hurt and problems. But God never asks us to do anything that's not for our eternal good. Right, so Romans 8 says this. It says, and we know that God causes all things to work together for good for those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. I got to tell you, I think this verse has been mistranslated over and over and over. Because we just think everything in the world's good. It's good. Don't you worry about it. Oh, what? Your family's really, really sick. What? Grandma's about to die. What? There was a car wreck. Oh, don't you worry. That's good. That's good. It's not. Let's stop saying it. It's not. You know what that is? That is well-intentioned, well-meaning people seeking to say well-meaning things that are just ridiculous. Everything in this world is not good. But somehow, some way, God can cause good to come from those bad things. And so don't tell me, hey, your grandpa died? That's good. It's not. But what happens is that God can cause good, right? And so that I recognize later, grandpa, I'll see you again one day. Don't tell me, my mom has cancer. That's good. It's good. No, it's not. It's terrible. No, it's not. It hurts. My mom's fearful. We don't know how we're going to take care of everything. It's difficult. I do trust today. I trust that somehow, someway, God will cause good to come from it. But don't tell me my mom having cancer is good. It's not. It's awful. It's cancer. Cancer does not equal good. But we know that God calls us things to work together. And so it's not the cancer then, but it's that which is working together. That which God is working together for good to those who love God. The Bible also says in 2 Corinthians 4:17, there are momentary light afflictions, which is producing for us an eternal weight of glory far beyond all comparison, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things that are not seen are eternal. You know what that verse tells me? I don't see it all. I don't see it all. You know, as much as I'd like to somehow, and for some reason we allow ourselves to get to this place where we want to see ourselves as divine, we are not. We aren't. God is divine. His will is good. Not only is it good, but it is pleasing, acceptable in the sense that when it is revealed to us, then it is something that we're made willing to do, that it's pleasing. You see, God is in the business of maturing us. Friend, if you became a Christian 10 years ago and you've not matured one iota, can I just tell you, something's wrong. Something's not right. See, God loves you too much to simply leave you where you are. God loves you so much that he'd give his son for you. Can I tell you this? I don't love you that way. I don't. I'm not giving up this guy for you. I'm just being honest. I want to be more and more like Jesus, but I'm not willing to give up this one, or my 11-year-old, or the one who's 3 and thinks he's 12. God did that for you, though, which then helps us to see that his will must be pleasing to us in order, if he would give Jesus. My friend, we can respond to him. We can respond to him. See, his will is good. It's pleasing, or some of your translations say acceptable. Acceptable in the fact that he is leading us to a place that is different from where we are right now. If you think right now you are where you're always going to be, your view of God must expand. I think about my seasoned adults. We've got several of you who are like 160 years old. And I wouldn't race a one of you because I know I'd get beat. But you know what? Here's what I know about our season, our most seasoned here. And I'm proud of this. I'm proud of them because of this. Is that my most seasoned, they know they're not where they need to be. They're not done. See, it's easy to say, you know what? I'm 90. I'm going on cruise control. You know what? If you're 90 at Northway, you're not saying that. You know what you're saying? I need to invest my life into some younger people, sharing with them some of the things I've learned, sharing with them some of my struggles, sharing with them how God has done a work in my life. You see, there's no retirement when it comes to maturing in the Word on this earth. One day you'll be face to face. And thank God for that day. But while you're here, you must be maturing. You see, the will of God is pleasing. It's pleasing, good, pleasing, and it is perfect. Nothing we could do could add to God's plan would improve it. You understand this today, folks? God's will is perfect. Now, I want you to know that I like to tread lightly here The Bible says that God's will is perfect. And if there's one thing I hear as a pastor often, it's, I just want to be in the perfect will of God. Well, friend, I do too. And what a great place to seek to be. But there is an issue with you and God's perfect will. God is perfect and you are not. And because you are not, that will always affect then the perfect will that God has for you. So you're affecting that. And my challenge to you is somehow we allow ourselves to say, you know what, I've missed the bullseye, and then we allow it to say, I can't be in God's will. It'll never happen again, because once I did that, it will never ever work that I might be in the will of God. Here's your challenge. Stop being conformed to the world and be transformed by His Word. And when you allow yourself to be transformed by His Word, guess what? That now is proving what God's will is. That it is good, that it is pleasing, that it is perfect. Are you going to get it all right here? No. Not on this earth, you won't. But my friends, why not try? Why would we want to try something like that? Well, it's simple. In view of the mercy of God, in view of what He's done for us, it's now our challenge to live for Him, being living sacrifices, not conforming to the world, but being transformed by the renewing of our mind, being transformed by His Word. See, we're to be the evidence of His power. And that's my question for you. Are you the evidence of God's power in your life? Are you the evidence of that? See, the Bible tells us you are the salt of the earth. The salt has become tasteless. How can it be made salty again? It's no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men. You are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden, nor does anyone light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand. And it gives light to all those in the house. Let your light shine before men in such a way that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who's in heaven. Will you take seriously your role of being salt? Will you take seriously your role of being light? Would you pray with me as we come to this time of response? And this is the opportunity for you to respond. See, we see this morning. This morning we recognize God's will is good, pleasing, perfect. Far too often we're allowing the world to conform us when we need to be transformed. I challenge you today, be a butterfly. Stop settling for caterpillar. If you've never put your faith and trust in Jesus, the Bible says if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you'll be saved. Before putting you into relationship with Him. You see, you can't even begin to mature in Christ until you know Christ. Why not today put your faith and trust in Him? If you're here today and you know Jesus, my challenge to you is this. I hope it's evident. Is that you allow Him to take you from that place where you are. And that you would move forward for His honor, for His glory. That you would fly in the way that He has called you to fly. That you would live in the way that He's called you to live. That you would be the salt. That you would be the light. That you would put down those things which so easily entangle. He'd live in him.